the station of the stars. RTI.
The Big E. Eric Wiltshire.
Welcome back to Postcard from Poprad. On a very interesting news week with myself, Eric Wiltshire, in the town of Poprad. Lee Banks over in the UK, co-founder of the consumer expert group, Mark Gander in Gay Barry. I don't know whether this is good or bad, but the markets seem to think it's good. It seems at last, if nothing else, the Eurozone people are actually talking to each other.
Well, they've had to.
I know that. Where EU leaders have agreed to use the Eurozone's planned bailout fund to directly support struggling banks rather than giving it to governments, which I actually think is a damn fine idea.
How much have they said they'll give to Spain?
I don't know, Lee.
18 billion?
Don't know.
80 million?
Million? 80 billion.
Oh, billion, yeah.
Million.
Yeah.
I was like, 80 million wouldn't do anything.
Yeah, that's it, 80 billion.
Yeah.
I think that's amazing. I think that's amazing. Because according to Spain's economy minister, they're going to use 40 billion of that to build the world's biggest toilet, and then they're going to flush the rest down it.
No, because the money's not even there before the end of the year, Lisa.
Are we talking pesetas here?
No, potatoes.
Yeah, it's a lot of them to get you down.
Potatoes.
Anyway, I'm going to carry on with me dusty.
Talk potatoes. Now, the one thing I found interesting out of this was that they're not actually giving it to governments this time. It's actually going to be controlled by the am I right in saying the European Central Bank is actually doing the deal with the other banks, which will surely make the other banks more accountable, or have I missed something?
It was done that way to protect Germany, because Germany were going to have to take on all of the risks and all of the pressure over this by themselves. So now they've sort of ring-fenced it with the other places to protect them. Very nice thing to do to protect the Germans.
But, of course, the also agreed joint banking supervisory body will only apply to the Eurozone, not Great Britain, because they're not in it.
Well, that's it, isn't it? And that's the other thing, that while we're talking about banks and missing the point, I think we should look at the fact of what happened with Cameron yesterday.
What happened to him?
Well, this morning. Wow. 1 o'clock this morning, he came out of the EU meeting a broken man. A completely broken man, because the decisions have been taken, and his decision, 2 years ago, his bullying attitude towards the EU has caught up with him, and he was left out of the decision making.
Because he's not in the Eurozone, he knows that.
That was his decision, and that bullying attitude that he used against the rest of the Eurozone over the last 2 years has turned round and bitten him. A decision has been made, and Britain is left out in the cold.
I don't see that.
Well, it's just there, isn't it?
It's not. If Britain had the Euro, and were part of the Eurozone, then they should be talking about the Eurozone.
Yeah,
but Britain has a pound.
Yeah, but the fear is that Britain's financial industry will be left isolated because they've agreed to create a single supervisory body.
Anybody who believes that is barking, because not all the trade goes through the Eurozone. Number two, a lot of the other banking trading that goes on has nothing to do with the Eurozone.
You're a terrible man. You're a terrible, terrible, terrible man, because 3 weeks ago I was saying exactly the same thing, and you came down on me like a ton of bricks for saying that we've got the pound. That's what we need. We have a burgeoning thing. Anyway, it's the simple fact that Britain, 2 years ago, when it felt in power, decided that it wasn't going to join in because we had the pound, and use that as a tactic to bully people on the Eurozone into going into whatever they went into.
Well, let me share something, he's been
left out in the cold. Angela Merkel has done a U-turn and made herself look like David Cameron's missus, the pair of them, the U-turn, making U-turn.
Lee, is there any politician you agree with?
No. You know what? And I hold my hands up and I say no. Because in the last year, everybody in some kind of authority has been shown to have, worse than feet of clay, has been shown to have no moral fibre at all. Mm. And that terrifies me. And this thing about saving the euro and everything is being done by politicians and bankers.
No, it's been done by a bank and bankers. With the approval of the politicians.
And politicians. You can't deny that.
Denying that, Lee. But for a change, look, there is one big change in this. And Mark, jump on me if I've got this wrong.
No, thank you.
Or you might bounce off. The politicians made a decision to enable the European Central Bank to loan money to other banks.
Directly to the banks, that's right.
Correct. Now, that was a decision taken by the politicians, not by the bank CEOs. Whereas in part one of the programme, we were talking about decisions where politicians don't have control, and actually the CEOs were... It was the tail wagging the dog rather than the dog wagging the tail. Yes. And it seems to me that this way round... The dog's wagging the tail rather than the opposite way.
Well, yeah, and what I'm saying is David Cameron used to be the dog, used to be the top dog, and he got wagged something awful yesterday.
Oh, dear. Anyway, we move on. Lee, who happens to be a broadcaster, doesn't agree with Mr. Murdoch that broadcasting is entertainment.
Well, it's not that I don't agree with it. Here we have another very, very powerful man who actually fell on his own sword, unlike David Cameron, unlike Diamond, unlike Angela Merkel, unlike everybody else, fell on his own sword when it was discovered that an operation that he was head of had been carrying out heinous acts. Now he's split his organisation into two bits, basically. One that's entertainment and one that is what it used to be. And what my point
he split the company into two bits.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. One is a regulated part. Yeah. And the other part is not regulated.
Yeah. So we called it entertainment.
So
what I'm saying,
the non-regulated part is in one company,
I'm
which
start
includes
in a minute. I can't get a word in edgeways.
Which includes print media and the like.
Yeah.
And on the other side of this the second new company, is a company which has television and all the sort of conventional broadcast areas, which are all regulated. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Okay. I'm just clarifying.
Yeah.
I'm just going to apologise, by the way. You've got a lot of background noise coming from here in a minute.
Why? What is it?
A road sweeper? Are you doing your hoovering?
It's a special spray that comes along and cleans up all the dog's muck, and there's a load of it.
What, in your apartment?
Right,
Despite the fact that we've had record torrential rain, it's still there.
Right, Lee, you carry on.
When it's wet, it's slippy. I've forgotten what we're talking about. Yes, well, no, what? The whole point, ladies and gentlemen, this was just a passing point that he's picked up on and made me suffer and tried to pillory me for. I said, why do we now class broadcasting as entertainment, not as a media service which is all encompassing? It was based on the fact, very simply, that the newspaper end of his business would remain in the business end of things and would be serious, etc., and have a serious profile and not be an entertainer, not be the Russell Brand of his empire. Right? Now, the point is, and everybody knows this, that newspapers generally are and organs of entertainment. We talk about stars, we talk about celebrities, we tell jokes, we put things in that are straight, we put about fashion, we push about food, style, houses, and spread in between them little bits of news. Why are newspapers classed as entertainment then?
I don't know, but you see, I think myself, ignoring all the rest of this PR puff around, that Mr. Murdoch is an absolute genius.
I couldn't agree more.
I think this is the most stunning move ever, because within the Leveson thingy, which covers the newspaper side, he's being accused of all sorts of things, which at the end of the day, there's nobody regulating, so it doesn't matter. However, it could have been argued that because all was under one big umbrella, that if he was shown to not be a rightful person to hold a broadcast licence, it could have been that Ofcom would have said, oh, because of the Leveson or whatever it's called, inquiry, we can take his broadcast licence away. Well, of course, they can't do that now, because it isn't him at the top of the broadcast bit.
Yeah, but he could have done that anyway in different ways. But I agree. I think he's a very clever move, but also very cynical on his side to think that you can change the profile. Yeah, the BBC. See, if you take the BBC, for instance, as the chief broadcaster, what does it broadcast mainly?
Well, rubbish.
News-related rubbish.
No, these days it produces more rubbish, whereas it should be entertainment.
What, the BBC?
Mm.
Oh, do you think the BBC should be entertainment, as one of the biggest news providers in the world?
Well, I get entertained by receiving information.
On its news? Yeah, on the news channel, yeah.
So you think that it should... I'm not denying this. I know you said this before, that there should be a specific news channel and no news on the rest of the channels.
Yeah, I agree. Very much.
I know you did, because you said it.
Yeah, very much so. I think that the BBC One should be entertainment, escapism, relax after work, lots of good original comedy, lots of good fun things so you can unwind. I think BBC Two can be an alternative channel, and I think BBC Three can be a great youth channel with youth comedy, youth programming, not kids, I mean, for those under 30. And I think BBC Four should and could be an amazing arts and culture channel, and news is news. I don't think culture and art should be on BBC One anymore. It should be on Four.
Wouldn't you say that actually that in this case possibly the BBC have got it right, because what they actually do is supply most of those things badly, like you say, quite badly, but they at least supply that service and intersperse those programs with short snippets of news.
The problem will come back down to the politicians from years back, where the BBC got lambasted on Christmas Day for having a light entertainment programme up against a serious ballet on ITV. And a politician whose name I just can't remember complained about the fact the BBC should not have put on light entertainment on Christmas Day when there was a serious ballet on ITV2, which got terrible ratings. Tough luck, ITV!
Well, what's it got to do with him anyway?
Well, because they want ballets on everything.
Ballet's stupid.
I know. I agree.
Is that the end of that subject, then?
Yes. Moody's. The Moody's agency have downgraded Nokia, as in the people that make telephones, the Nokia bonds, down to junk status.
Yeah. But we're doing ribbon after.
Yep. But funnily enough, the markets don't agree with Moody's. Why am I not surprised?
I don't understand this story.
Well, Nokia is in trouble, I have to say.
Yes, it is.
And I mean, they've been in trouble for a long, long time.
To me. Yes.
Well, no, I mean, only that we've got a credit reference agency, really, who's basically saying, well, we don't think they're any good and you shouldn't be buying their stock. And apparently the markets are just saying, well, actually, we want this stock. Yeah. But maybe all that's happened is that the Moody's have come along and downgraded them so much that suddenly the price of Nokia becomes very attractive. And maybe that's why it is. I mean, don't forget, Nokia has just signed a big deal with Microsoft. Microsoft are trying to make a sort of, you know, a big, big super entry into the mobile phone market. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, maybe the smart money is saying, well, yeah, this is the time to buy, because if the deal with Microsoft works, and if they are a serious competitor to iPhones and to Android, then maybe there's a load of money to be made here. So maybe this is the time.
Like 55%, sorry, 5% over the last year.
Yeah,
yeah. And what have they dropped since Moody's downgraded them?
4%.
No, they've gone up.
Oh, they've gone up. Sorry,
because people have been buying them. Yeah,
4% up. But, I apologise.
But you know, maybe this is the time to buy them. Maybe you want to go invest a few hundred on it if you happen to have that, then just see where it goes in a few months' time.
Well, the interesting thing is, I don't think Moody's are very accurate in that the boss of Nokia is a former senior executive in Microsoft. Yeah. He went over to Nokia. He's done the hatchet job, bringing the total job cuts to 40,000 people. So he's done his hatchet job. Microsoft have announced they've got a new tablet coming out. They want to go into the mobile phone market. They clearly don't want to go and manufacture in China, because a lot of that has been tarnished. So therefore, they've basically got Nokia.
Yeah.
So anybody with smart money is going to go, well, hang on. If Nokia gets really into trouble, Microsoft are going to pick it up for a bean.
Yeah.
So my shares are going to be worth even more money.
So let's invest in Nokia.
Yeah.
Let's Nokia on an open door here.
Yes, exactly. And whilst Nokia have a potential to grow, RIM, which is the Research in Motion mob...
I'm glad you explained that, because I could have been misconstrued earlier
thank
on.
Thank you. Have deferred the launch of their new BlackBerry 10 and cut 5,000 jobs. And it's not looking good for RIM, is it?
Well, it isn't really, is it? It is a bit scary for them. What is it? The firm reported £334 million net loss in 3 months. That's a phenomenal amount of money to lose.
I know. You'd think they'd keep it in their wallet, wouldn't you? But the fact is, Mark, have you ever owned a BlackBerry?
No, I haven't, and I don't really know how they work or anything, but I think that they're dead in the water by and large. They've been having huge problems with data. I think that they've got arguments with various governments because they are storing personal data and they don't want to release it, and governments are insisting that they do. They've had glitches and failures and security breaches and this sort of thing, mm-hmm. and quite frankly, I think that they're probably even less hopeful than the new Microsoft, well, the Nokia and the new Microsoft thing. Yeah. I think they're going to have to sort themselves out, really. You know, I can see their handsets converting. I mean, Nokia dumped Symbian.
Yes.
And I can see RIM. Is it, which is the... Well, I can see whoever the handsets starting to go for some other provider, because I don't think it's working anymore. Well,
Isn't it funny, though?
There is one really odd anomaly with the BlackBerry. Do you know that not all BlackBerry phones can actually work with Skype?
With Skype?
Yeah.
Didn't know that at all.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good job I haven't got a BlackBerry then, isn't it?
There are genuinely BlackBerry phones on the market that you can't use with all providers because it don't work. And when you think that so much telephony is done by internet protocol, namely Skype, to not have Skype as a tool on a handset you want to sell in the UK is a disaster.
You know what? I've got to say this now. It's going back to what we were saying at the beginning, and I will go to my grave saying this, that everything that is massive in your lives, in our lives, like mobile phones, like banks, like governments, are all getting it wrong.
Funny that. Do you know why?
Because they're all idiots.
No, because they're
all out to make money for themselves.
No, you're going to hate this one.
Go on, then. Because the press, right... Wrong stories, and they
don't believe. No, not at all. No, not at all.
Well,
I think the bottom line is there are some quality print journalists, as you know, I believe.
Oh,
anyway,
here we go.
As well as there are some that don't have to toe the line, and the communication tools around the world now are so vast that it can get out to the big wide world that something's in trouble, where in old times people could hide it under the carpet.
Yes, I suppose there is a muted point there, yeah.
Oh.
But you cannot say that bad journalists have made this company lose £334 million.
I did not say that.
You are implying it.
I'm not
that
implying it.
That is a defamatory statement.
I'm not implying it. Anyway, next headline is one of my very own.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Any publicity is good publicity. I'm not sure if we mentioned this last week, but a well-known panel show host and comedian in the UK has been lambasted for his tax affairs.
Unbelievable. How cruel is this? This is Jimmy Carr, ladies and gentlemen. He's quite a well-known comedian, quite offensive in his own way.
Oh, he is.
But actually very funny. Yeah. And he is a rich man,
right.
because of his popularity.
And he works very hard.
And he works extremely hard, yeah. And he went to his accountants to have his tax affairs sorted out, and they came up with a scheme which was perfectly legal, had been sanctioned by the tax offices, I assume, and made it clear that this was a legal scheme to put his money in Jersey, and I think from memory that he was paying 1% tax.
Mm-hmm.
He has been exposed.
He's been pilloried for it.
He's been exposed by the Prime Minister of the UK. He's then been pilloried by everybody, left, right and centre, for doing what? For doing what he was allowed to do. Mm-hmm. He has been pilloried and potentially destroyed. Unlike Bob Downey, he says, oh, no, I'm staying here. You can get
lost. Yeah, but there's a bit of a fundamental problem to this story, isn't there?
Because yeah, of course there is.
Because people power has reigned supreme.
And he's on top. Sorry, guess.
Yeah, go on. You can say it.
And he has fought back and done really well out of it. The only thing that I would say that he did wrong was on his show, which is called Eggs Out of 10 Cats. He apologised over and over again for what he'd done. Why did you apologise, Jimmy? You ain't done nothing wrong.
Well, that's
if
true.
Anybody's done something wrong, it was your accountants. But even they've done nothing wrong because it was a legal scheme.
True. True. But as I say, people power has reigned supreme because all the pillorying he's got has seen the ratings to his TV show go up.
But he handled it pretty well, I think, because he came straight out. He came straight out.
He did.
And I think the first thing he said, I think that everybody thinks I'm going to make light of this because that's what I do. But I'm not. I take it very seriously. I think I've done wrong and I'm putting
it
in.
Why has he done wrong, though? Why did he feel he'd done
wrong? Because it's a quick listen. Actually, it's not too bad, really, because it is a question of morality. And the fact is that although a lot of these banks and all sorts of people say, well, you know, we're allowed to do this because technically we do it, simply it means that technically this particular aspect of tax avoidance has been overlooked by the law, and so therefore I'm doing it. And what's been said now is that hang on a minute, even if the law has missed it, there is sort of a moral issue as well as whether you make your contribution to society. Yeah. And of course he's put his hands up. Part of the reason why he's put his hands up, I'm quite sure, is because he realised that he was banged
to
rights and he was in trouble. Okay, but still, you know, I don't see anything wrong with people saying, well, even though I'm allowed to do it, I make a moral judgment and I'm not doing it.
So absolutely, couldn't agree more, but why would he have to make that moral judgment if he didn't? Why would he have to make that moral judgment? It was a legal thing for him to do. And everybody, including the Prime Minister, including politicians, including journalists, including bankers, do everything they can to minimise the amount of money they have to pay out of their income.
Indeed, we move on. Just a little bit of quick news before we won't go on too much about it. The BBC is going to be using Facebook to stream both Wimbledon, it's already started, and the London 2012 Olympics. So while you're surfing on Facebook, and I don't blame them actually, new figures out, over 30 million people from the UK on Facebook regularly. Why wouldn't you want to put the pictures there while they can surf and talk and chat to their friends at the same time? Makes logical sense to me. But poor old David.
Makes sense to me.
Poor old David Beckham.
Yeah, they're silly old girl.
He's not going to be playing for the UK team, is he?
Well, how old is he? 37.
Oh, he's ancient.
37.
He's so ancient, he's unbelievable.
He's an old man and he looks like a shot dummy.
Yes. Well, I hope Churchill, the insurance company, have got some good insurance from somewhere else for their dog Churchill. Because a pet owner has been stunned as Churchill Insurance Company refuses to cover his bulldog, which is, funnily enough, the type of dog or breed of dog that Churchill Insurance have as a mascot.
Oh, yes.
And why do they say about it? Why do they do this?
I'm not sure, to be quite honest, but this is another one that keeps coming back to bite everybody because
They see, you know, like certain things are not insurable or you have to pay an extra penalty of premium. The bulldog, which is a very, very strong breed, like all breeds of dog, has certain endemic weaknesses within it. You know, like a golden retriever has problems with its hips and things like that. Mm-hmm. So the chances of, a bulldog actually suffering the consequences of its purity in the future make it, as far as Churchill is concerned, uninsurable. What a load of idiots.
And I can tell you that the endemic problems that are associated with bulldogs are respiratory diseases because their noses and their breathing is so poor. You always hear them wheezing. They're enormously
prone. All their lives walking into a wall, isn't it?
Yeah.
Exactly that. Exactly that. And they're enormously prone to respiratory illness.
And they are ugly. They are ugly dogs.
No, the trouble is they're bred by breeders who breed them to look in a certain way.
That's to look ugly. Point.
I mean, I think it's all a bit unfortunate. I mean, it's like these goldfish you buy with goggle eyes or about five tails and so forth. It's all, you know, I mean, it's true. But it's a bit nasty.
Like children.
It is nasty. Let's have some comedy to finish off the end of the programme. Oh, boys and girls, the last Pinter giant tortoise has died.
I can't see why this is comedy.
Poor old George.
Actually, it is
a serious side to it, because George was the last one of the giant Pinter tortoise group, which means it's now an extinct species.
Is that where we got the beans from?
No.
How do we know it's dead? I mean, it's just because it hasn't moved for a while.
I think
it's big. And if you tickle its tummy, its little legs, well, its big legs, kick in the air. And they've been tickling its tummy, and nothing had happened, Mark. Honestly, it just lay there on its back.
And he had its tummy because the shell's in the way. It wouldn't feel it.
Go on. Try again.
Thank you. Anyway, poor old George, who was somewhere between 100 and 200 years old, because nobody really knows.
Bit like Eric.
Hasn't had a female partner. And so.
Bit like Eric.
They did try and get George to have a girlfriend from the Galapagos Islands, but it didn't work. So that's another one that good old human race has managed to kill off.
I'll bet you somebody's gone and extracted DNA and got it growing in a test tube already.
Probably.
Watch this space.
Absolutely. And finally, Popeye was right.
Yes!
Spinach makes you Superman, does it? Hang on, votes on who the best impersonator of Popeye is on a postcard too. What's this about, Lee, quickly, in 30 seconds?
Researchers at the Karolinska Institute in Stockholm have been carrying
out... Oh, not them again!
They're brilliant, I love them! They've got it to find out if... spinach can really make you into a Superman. Well, I had spinach last night, mate, and I tell you, it's been super.
So you've been, ever since you've had your spinach, you've been jet-propelled?
I've been more than jet-propelled, man. I have been bouncing off the ceilings. I've been dragging lampposts up out of the garden. Yeah. I've thrown Mount Etna across the world. Uh-huh. I am Popeye!
The Sailor Man. On that happy note, we're going to say goodbye, everybody. And this week, we're actually going to have time to say goodbye. Mark, over to you.
Yeah, goodbye, everybody. And look forward to seeing you next week. Or hearing from you, hearing from me.
Yes, I think we got there. Lee?
Have I got as much time as him?
Yes.
I don't know what to say, though. All right. I love you all. Bye-bye.
From me, Eric Wiltshire, we'll see you again, same channel, same time next week. And don't forget, you can always keep up to speed with what's going on Facebook. Just go to the radio page, because that's what we are on Facebook, radio.
The Station of the Stars. RTI.